Welcome to Listen Up, Belfast Community Radio's program of public affairs, such as lectures and interviews. Today, part three of the Inside and Out series. Norman Keeling will be interviewing the Maine Commissioner of Corrections, Randall Liberty.
Hi, everyone. This is Norman Keeling. Thank you for joining us for my conversation with Commissioner Randall Liberty of Maine's Department of Correction. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and what brings you to this?
Sure, yeah. Again, I'm Randy Liberty, and it's a pleasure to be here with you and spend some time with you and your listeners. I've been in law enforcement and corrections for about 39 years now. In fact, I'll hit 40 the next summer. I come from a background where my father was criminal justice involved. My dad did some time at the Maine State Prison, also at Kennebec and Somerset County jails. And so growing up, I was very familiar with the criminal justice system and what it meant to be a family member. And even to this day, I have family members that are in my care in the system. And so I decided in high school that I wanted to be in law enforcement, and so did my brother, and we, three out of the four of us, joined the Army. The Army allowed us to get that discipline and positive male role modeling early on in our lives, and we were able to use the GI Bill. And so I came back, and I went to the University of Maine at Augusta. While I was attending there, I worked at Somerset County Jail and the Fairfield Police Department. And in 1989, I went to work at the Kennebec County Sheriff's Office. And I stayed there for 26 years. And while there, I rose through the ranks, and I was the elected sheriff for the last 9 years. And that's where I did a combination of on-the-road work, where I was investigating crimes and providing public safety. But I also assisted in the management of the jail for the last 15 years of my career there. I was then the warden of the Maine State Prison. I did that from 2015 to 2019. And then when Governor Mills was elected, she selected me to be the Commissioner of Corrections. And so that's kind of my professional career. I have a passion for public safety. I have a passion for helping people to redeem themselves. And I believe in redemption. I believe that we all fall short. And it's my job, I think, to identify what exactly brought people to my custody and helping them to address those needs and find new beginnings.
And what do you hope to accomplish here?
Well, I hope to accomplish is, providing better communities, providing, strengthening families, helping individuals that come to us with mental health concerns or substance use disorder issues or, effects of trauma. Could be from sexual assault, could be from military service, it could be from motor vehicle accident, any sort of trauma. Poverty, neglect. That's most of the people come to my care have some combination of all of those things. And what I hope to provide is an opportunity for those people in my care to address those issues and become better citizens, fathers, daughters, fathers, sisters, better parents, because by far most of the residents, the incarcerated males, will be released in the community, and the question becomes, are they better off when they leave than when they arrived? And that's my overall goal, and we do that through programmatic initiatives, through education, through compassionate and understanding care, which includes trauma-informed approach, understanding why people are acting or doing what they do, and having a broader view. So that's, in a nutshell, what I try to do. I try to provide them an opportunity to better themselves on their journey.
And can you tell me, please, what your concerns or challenges you see or experience?
Yeah, the challenges are primarily, funding, right? And so I spend a considerable amount of my time at the legislature seeking funding and, finding alternative ways, low-cost, no-cost ways to provide this funding. And, often at the legislature, there are many priorities. And although we have some very good representatives that legislators overall that advocate for incarcerated minors, often the spending is directed elsewhere. So I try to do things that really allow me to network, working with the University of Maine, Colby College, MIT, Cooperative Extension of the University of Maine, other private stakeholders and advocacy groups to get the work done. But that's the primary concern during COVID. Keeping COVID out of the facilities and keeping the staff and residents safe are important to me. And staffing is another issue. It's a challenge for both the state of Maine. Every state nationally is struggling with staffing appropriate levels, and as are the counties. And so those are my challenges at this point, staffing, COVID, funding.
What are your thoughts about MAT, medically assisted treatment?
I think MAT is the gold standard. As lot of time working in law enforcement, and have been to thousands of homes and dealt with many, many citizens and that were struggling with substance use disorder. You know, we cannot arrest our way out of this situation. We have to provide programmatic education on the outside and provide everything we can to assist them on the inside also. And so we have adopted universal medication-assisted treatment at the Maine Department of Corrections. And so anyone that arrives that has substance use disorder and is on a prescription for a medication, we continue that. If they arrive and they're not on it, and we identify with them and the clinician that they should be because of their substance use disorder, they are authorized to begin MAT, and we do that throughout the system. And they're released with a warm handoff into the community with Maine Care if that's appropriate. So there's no break in service. So we fully support MAT as the gold standard. We recognize the challenge of relapse and addiction. We want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And so that's why we've universally adopted it.
What are your thoughts about parole in Maine, especially given the number of residents that come from out of state to do their time here on parole in Maine?
The paroles, you know, the circumstances surrounding parole is really a legislative or gubernatorial decision. What the legislature or what the governor decides to do with that. For me, managing the system today, we have SECP, which is the Secure Community Confinement, and that allows us, thanks to the great work by Representative Rachel Talbot Ross, she introduced the bill and expanded that from 18 months prior to release to 24 months now. And so if the unit teams and the department and the individual feel as though they've done good time in that they've been relatively disciplinary free, if they've had been aggressively pursuing education, programming for substance use disorder or mental health challenges, good citizens inside the facility while they're there, we're able to release them 24 months prior to the normal release date and transition them back into the community. And so I think that that serves a really good purpose in rewarding those individuals that have done good time and have managed to be productive while they're incarcerated. And so I'm a big supporter of the SECP program, and I think that it serves a good purpose.
Can you tell me about the earned living unit?
Yes. So we have a what we call the Maine model of corrections. And under this concept, we try to normalize the environments in correctional setting. And so the earned living unit is a unit that we have at the Maine State Prison, and that allows individuals that have done very well, are discipline-free for a decade, have are good community members, engaged in education, doing peer mentorship, doing everything right, being good citizens while they're incarcerated. It gives them an opportunity to reside in a unit that is lightly supervised, very lightly supervised, and create their own sort of mini community there. Most of those individuals are working, attending college, teaching college classes. They have the freedoms that they've earned through great behavior, good citizenship while incarcerated, and it's gone very, very well. And it's been it's really an opportunity for us to show the residents that are in our care that this is the light at the end of the tunnel. If you do all of the right things, if you're a good citizen in that community, you can be trusted, and we can provide you with more freedoms that you've certainly earned.
As you know, I often speak with the residents at the Maine State Prison. I am thrilled to hear that residents are working on degrees in their higher education. Steve Clark, among others, are working on their PhDs. Can you comment on some of the many programs you have at MSP?
Sure. So if we're talking specifically about the Maine State Prison, we've been aggressively pursuing programs for the residents for many years. And as you mentioned, one of the residents is pursuing his PhD. We have one that was recently released that is working on his PhD also. I think we have 5 graduate students that are residing at the prison. We have individuals that are peer mentoring and assisting with all of that work. We currently have 3 dog programs at the prison. The one is the America Vet Dogs. That is actually happening in the veterans pod. In the veterans unit, we have 64 military veterans that reside there, and they benefit from the shared experience of living together and having those that history of military service. We have an American Legion post that's actually in that unit. The America Vet Dog Program I mentioned, they have 8 dogs at any given time where they raise canines that are certified as service dogs for about 14 months, and they're released into the community for disabled veterans. And far as training dogs on the outside. We have an aggressive agricultural program. In the department, we'll raise more than 200,000 pounds of vegetables inside our facilities. We've certified, I think we're at 60 master gardeners as residents that through the University of Maine Cooperative Extension, they take a master gardener course, and they're tending the gardens, and they love doing that. In the prison itself, I think we have 6 beehives that are pollinating the crops and producing honey that we use in our kitchens. There's the Angel Dog Program, which we certify those service dogs for children that are disabled. And then we have the Kennel Dog Program, which we have those dogs for about 8 weeks, and those are trained obedient, so they're more adoptable at the Humane Society. You know, we have University of Maine Augusta, we have Washington County Community College, we have MIT, where we have some of the residents are actually assistant teachers with MIT in Massachusetts. A lot of programming going on, a lot of programming. And if anyone that's incarcerated at the Maine Department of Corrections wish to be involved, they can be. One of the programs that's been very successful is we brought the Liberation Institute in, and they've certified 20 residents as nationally certified yoga instructors. So those individuals go into these units and they teach yoga to fellow residents. That's had a really nice calming effect, and people are able to be centered and live in the moment, and that's been very good. So those are just a few of the programs that we've been aggressively pursuing and creating for the residents, in addition to the more than 350 jobs that occur there, paying jobs in the facility, and that allows the residents to pay fines, to pay child support, restitution, save money so they can have gain money when they're released. And so it's gone well, I think, at this point.
You're tuned to Live and Local on Belfast Community Radio. We'll return in a moment with the second part of released inmate Norman Keeling's interview with Randall Liberty, the Maine Commissioner of Corrections.
Do you know about the other side?
I have looked at it briefly, and I'm not overly informed about it, but I'm willing to take a look at it and see just exactly the benefits that they'd bring.
You are generally considered to be forward-thinking and enlightened in your approach to incarcerating residents. Do you feel you have the general support of your staff, administrations, and the public?
Yes, I do. And so I have great support from the governor's office. The legislature is very supportive. The staff is supportive. And one of the challenges of the staff, as I said, is short staffing. And so we try to work best we can to find balance between safety and security of the residents and the programming, and that's gone well. Some of these programs are new and they're changed, and so the residents and the staff have to be informed about the broad view and why we're doing what we do. It's gone well thus far. I think it's important to get good consensus from both the residents and the staff. When we're thinking about a program, we bring everyone in and get their views and their perspectives. I think we're more successful that way. But, yeah, I have great support. I think everybody agrees that if we're spending $46,000 a year to house someone, that we should be providing a healing, therapeutic environment where people can grow and reduce the likelihood they'll return.
A couple of side questions here. I'm curious about visiting at the prison, how that is, and about how these tablets are assistance to the Department of Corrections.
So the visiting, it expands and contracts according to COVID. And because our primary concern during the last 2 years has been keeping the people in our care safe. That's we've been very successful, but however, we've had outbreaks. And when we do that, we test the whole facility. We have to lock people in for periods of time to isolate them from further infecting someone else if they're positive. And we do that over a period of time. We continue to test until we test our way out of it. And what we can do is we can have, during an outbreak, we have to be concerned about what the community level of infection is, and do visitors bring that in? Do we do non-contact visits? Yes, sometimes. Sometimes we're able to ease into contact visits, but it all depends on the level of the community outbreak status, sort of, and how we can do that safely. We've been very aggressively training and staff and residents. We've been providing personal protection equipment. We've been educating and having a lot of dialogue about how we can keep each other safe. And that's gone well. The tablets have been very good in that we're able to load on thousands of programs. And there's the way that it works is they are able to, if they take 2 hours worth of programming, they get an hour of free education and free entertainment. So they can watch a movie, they can listen to music, that sort of thing, and they can also real-time message. And so, you know, I'm certain people that are listening are real-time messaging their loved ones that are incarcerated, and that's been really nice in that, you know, as the residents explained to me, it's nice for them to be able to, at, 8 o'clock in the morning, to be able to real-time text their son and say, hey, Dad loves you, good luck at school today, and you get a text right back. And so that's that instant communication has been very, very good. So it's been a benefit for everyone, I think.
I just want to share that what you've done since I've been involved with corrections and I've known you has been amazing. It's been such a heartfelt welcoming to what you've brought to the Department of Corrections. And can you tell me your vision, what your vision of the future is?
Yeah, my vision is that we work together. We work collaboratively with the residents in our care, with the advocates on the outside to transition them well. We work together to provide the programming and treatment that's required on the outside so people never come in. So we do a lot of diversion work. You know, my vision is the shrinking of the size of our correctional facilities in the state of Maine because people have access to programming and treatment on the outside, and they never come back here. We work on poverty on the outside. We work on pro-social programming and pro-social activities so our youth are tracking in the right direction. And I understand all of that because, as I mentioned, my father was incarcerated, and my brothers and I have three brothers, and, you know, we lived in a $1,000 trailer for about 8 years. And, you know, we had free hot lunch, food stamps, you know, any program you can imagine to help us through those difficult times. And if it were not for some of those programs, in addition to positive male role modeling for us in school and coaches and all of that, I'd be on the other side of the bars. And so I recognize that, you know, anyone can fall into these circumstances. And I don't wish to judge anyone on their worst day. You know, we all fall short. We all make mistakes. We all can be redeemed. And I want to be part of that journey for the Mainers that they're incarcerated. Because when I help one individual, I help multi-generations. If I help a 28-year-old incarcerated mother, not only do I help her to recover from substance use disorder, mental health issues, or education, I also help her mother who is watching the children while she's incarcerated. I also help the children that they can be assured that their mother will never be incarcerated again because she's getting the help that she needs. So that's my vision. Now, I have a passion for this work. It's very important work. It's critical to the safety and the success of our communities, and I see that as my vision.
Can you give me an update on SMU, how that's going? I know that when I was incarcerated, I spent many years out there, and I've heard nothing but great things about this earned living unit, which is located in a place where I spent many years, and I wished I hadn't.
Yeah, so what we've done is myself and Dr. Ryan Thornell and Warden Magnuson and Scott Landry and a bunch of the leadership here and in the facilities recognize that very good comes of incarcerating somebody and, you know, they're doing 23 hours a day in a cell. No good comes of that. So we recognize that through programming, through clinical work, through enhanced communication, and through looking at what are the causation factors, why is somebody here, and having a trauma-informed sort of approach, we've been able to shrink the SMU. And, in fact, as you've mentioned, we've been able to take where the old SMU was and create an earned living unit and flip that on its head. And it was interesting to see some of the residents that went down there to live because they'd done so much time down there in significant segregation. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing. So our numbers are in the low teens now. We reluctantly put people in a restrictive housing sort of environment, and we're very clear on the journey out, how you can get out, so there's no hopelessness. And then we assist them with programming so they can quickly get out and back into the population. And that method has worked very, very well for us. And when you look at the data regarding residents' assault on each other, residents' assault on staff, discipline, all of those key matrix data points, they have all significantly declined as a result of the programming and the opportunities that we're providing. And so it's a win for everyone.
Commissioner Randall Liberty, thank you for your time and a sincere thank you for your tireless work. Is there anything else you would like to add?
I'd just like to say that this is very important work, and the staff here are working very well with the agents in all of our facilities are doing the best they can in a difficult situation. And I think that the outlook for the future is very bright. We're making a difference in safety in the communities by releasing people that have had access to programming. And I'm very hopeful for the future.
Appreciate your time, and thank you from all of us in the free world. And I'm sure the guys in there, their families are going to hear this. And I just take my hat off to you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate the invitation. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
You've been listening to an interview with Maine Commissioner of Corrections Randall Liberty, conducted by Norman Keeling, himself an inmate in the Maine prison system for over 30 years. This concludes part 4 of Belfast Community Radio's Inside and Out series, presented on our program Listen Up. I'm producer Vic Treadwell. I'd like to thank Norman Keeling and Lorraine Brown for bringing the idea of this show to the station and for their work on it. Those of you who have never seen the inside of a penitentiary, count your blessings. There but for good luck and good lawyers go many of us.